The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome to Cleveland. We are just a day away from the 2021 NFL Draft here in Cleveland. As you see the stage, that's where it'll all go down. Lives will be changed, teams will be changed, decisions will be analyzed, and everyone's going to look back on it and say we might have had five great quarterbacks in this class who ended up being starters. This is the walk that the prospects will take out onto the stage to go and greet the commissioner after they are picked in the NFL Draft. NFL Live is presented by Lexus as we welcome you here to Cleveland once again. We're in the land, guys. We're vibing. Marcus Spears is already dancing. It doesn't usually take long for that. And you'll see him doing it in just a second as we bring you here. Marcus Spears, Mina Kimes, Dan Orlovsky, I'm Laura Rutledge, and we are with you with all the coverage that you need coming from Cleveland on NFL Live as well as ESPN for the next few days and ABC. All right, let's get, though, to some big news today, you guys, as this happened just hours ago.
Yes.
Here
we're in the land.
Yes.
Get the latest from Adam Schefter. He joins us now. Adam, what more can you tell us about the Panthers and Broncos trade that happened just a little while ago?
Well, Laura, Teddy Bridgewater has been traded from Carolina to Denver for a sixth round draft pick. Now, Teddy Bridgewater was due $10 million in guaranteed money for this upcoming season. The Carolina Panthers are paying $7 million of the $10 million in guaranteed money. The Denver Broncos are paying $3 million of the guaranteed money. So Denver is shoring up the quarterback position, but it doesn't mean that Denver is out of the quarterback market, and it also means that the Carolina Panthers could be in the quarterback market. So the two teams, which pick back-to-back at 8th and 9th in the draft on Thursday night, both have made a quarterback move, but it hasn't really changed anything other than the fact that both still could be looking at quarterbacks in the first round of the draft. And Teddy Bridgewater goes to Denver in a trade made by the Broncos' new general manager, George Payton, who formerly came in Minnesota, where Teddy Bridgewater played for him.
Yeah, really good point. Adam with us throughout the next hour with all the latest on everything. And you heard Adam just mention it there, Marcus. It seems like Carolina is big quarterback hunting. If you're looking at the quarterbacks, it could be available for them. Which one should they go after there?
Justin Fields, because seemingly somebody has forgot he can play football. So if he's there at 8, the Carolina Panthers with him and Joe Brady together and his ability would go crazy. Listen, Joe Brady turned Joe Burrow into the first overall pick in a year. In a year. And think about the opportunity that he would have with this athleticism, this ability to go downfield, this ability to put him in an offense along with Robbie Anderson, along with Christian McCaffrey. Do you know how devastating the RPO would be for the Carolina Panthers with Justin Fields and Christian McCaffrey in the backfield? So if he's there, Matt Rhule, don't think about it. Take him. And even if you figure out that Sam Darnold can be the guy, guess how much leverage you have having a young quarterback before you have to pay him in Justin Fields as either a trade tool or a guy that you could just have in that room and have confidence that his development will be well.
I think this excites picks 4, 5, 6, 7. I think those teams are the winners because the reality, this does make me think Carolina's at least an opportunity to take a quarterback. You know, you're not going into the season, I'm anticipating, with just Sam Darnold. So all those teams, Washington, New England, Chicago, you've got to try and jump 8. Because the fear of them taking a quarterback is in there. And for Denver, the reality is this. Today, Teddy Bridgewater is a better quarterback than Drew Lock.
100%.
So I think this speaks more to Drew Lock and the potential for Denver to move on from him. Because the reality is, if I'm Denver and I'm their fans, I would rather have Teddy Bridgewater and us go get Trey Lance and not have a first-round pick next year than just go into the season with Drew Lock and Teddy Bridgewater.
It's interesting because you got to think there is a suitor out there who would want Drew Lock and try to get their hands on him, see what they can do with it.
Yeah.
Mina, picks 7, 8, and 9 has been such a flex point for you in the draft. Now that you know about this information, what do you think these teams should do?
Go get a quarterback. I've been saying it for weeks. All three of them. Look, we can set aside Detroit because as much as I've been begging them to get a quarterback, I don't think they're going to do it. But this changes nothing in my mind for Denver. Dan is absolutely right about them drafting Trey Lance or Justin Fields if he's available there. There's no question. Now, setting that aside, this was a nice piece of business for them because they just got Teddy Bridgewater. They upgraded at quarterback for a bag of chips. We're talking about like a six-round draft pick and $3 million. Like, good job, Denver. But it would be a huge mistake if that stopped them from drafting a quarterback. And to me, now Denver and Carolina, both of whom need quarterbacks, have to be looking at each other. And maybe Atlanta's looking at them, too. And it's like that scene in The Office where Michael, Andy, and Dwight are all looking at it. Dan doesn't watch it. You know what I'm talking about. Come on. Finger guns.
I've seen the gist.
And it's like, oh, y'all like, you want a quarterback? Well, who wants Justin Fields more? Because this pick, Atlanta's pick, is for sale.
So, Marcus, when you think about that and where Atlanta factors into all this, it seems like a lot of the narrative, at least even leading up to this point, has been that they're just going to take Kyle Pitts, right? Yeah. They're going to ride with Matt Ryan and the offensive weapons that they have. How do you think they should approach this, knowing that some of these teams might be desperate to get somebody?
It's all about the guy that write the checks, Arthur Blank. Yeah. Where do you see your franchise right now with Matt Ryan for the future? And also Arthur Smith, the head coach. How does he want to operate offensively? If he wants a guy that can offer him similar things to what he did with Ryan Tannehill in Tennessee, that's not Matt Ryan. You can't create that same type of offense. And obviously, it's a different situation. But I would not have this caveat if the owner wouldn't say that he's thinking about the future at that position, and the head coach was coming from a place where athleticism was a part of his quarterback plan.
Yeah.
All right, so that's the one thing that gives me pause when people say, well, just take Kyle Pitts and get it over with. Hold on. There's two guys in this organization right now that may be thinking about the Atlanta Falcons in 2023, 2024, 2025 that could change the perspective of this draft.
I just think it's interesting because Carolina obviously likes Sam Darnold, but we don't know if they love Sam Darnold. And we're going to find out tomorrow night.
Because, they may not know yet, right?
Yeah, they don't know yet. They haven't been on the field with them. But if they decide to go move back or they take an offensive lineman at eight, they're rolling the dice a little bit because as much as I love Sam Darnold, you're going into a season, and it's your second year with your new regime with just, with just Sam Darnold, right? With just
Sam
Darnold. But I think that's a fair for a team that was, I mean, they were big game hunting a month ago with Deshaun, right?
Yes, and that's the point here. They made the decision to move on from Teddy long before they traded for Sam Darnold. This was already in the cards. They should still consider a quarterback.
And you made this point last week. Denver is good quarterback play away from being
a really good playoff contender.
You know, they are going to get good quarterback play out of Teddy Bridgewater. Now the question is, do they want the chance for great quarterback play? And if they do, they are going to have to go up in front of Carolina to secure a quarterback.
Again, we are just a day away from figuring out exactly what happens in this
draft.
It's all happening just right over there, and we'll have you covered on all of it. Let's get Adam Schefter back in here with a little bit more details on this. Adam, go ahead.
Laura, one final point to make on the Carolina Panthers quarterback situation. They still have not officially picked up the fifth-year option in Sam Darnold's contract. Now, if you trade for a quarterback, ordinarily you'd be picking up that option. But they haven't done that yet, which leaves open the possibility that the Carolina Panthers could wind up taking a quarterback in the first round tomorrow night, though they also have talked to other teams about moving back in the draft and trading back. So there are two options there for the Carolina Panthers that seem to have gotten a little bit more attention today. The idea of trading back and the fact that they haven't picked up Sam Darnold's contract option and have now traded away Teddy Bridgewater could view quarterback here as a value play for the Panthers tomorrow night.
Ooh,
something
I like
just
it.
Popped in my mind.
Yeah, okay. Thanks,
okay,
Adam.
Go ahead.
Really fast, Marcus, what popped?
No, just listening to Schefty, right? Like the evaluation process with the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah.
Regardless of Sam Darnold's tape and what he's done, at least the Panthers have that, right? Like at least they can evaluate. Because through that process of trading for him, somebody had to see we could make this guy our quarterback, and he can be very good.
His talent is his talent.
There you go. So I'm interested to know the thought process from Carolina because obviously they felt like Sam Darnold was a guy with the skill set. Now what do you do when you get to this pick and potentially Justin Fields is sitting there? Now you're talking about who has more confidence in what?
You got to think Joe Brady is going to be in that room, and who is he campaigning for, right?
Campaigning,
the offensive coordinator. By the way, ESPN's draft predictor gives Trey Lance the highest chance to be the eighth overall pick, just slightly ahead of Justin Fields. That's a fun little mix to think about as well.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
NFL Live is presented by Lexus. Experience amazing.
We're coming your way from Trevor Lawrence's arm. Trevor Lawrence's arm is
spectacular.
Powerful throw.
Oh, what a throw by Lawrence!
A rocket launcher.
Bazooka.
The arm that many teams covet.
You're also looking at accuracy.
His arm is the reason why he is the unambiguous number one quarterback in the draft.
Trevor Lawrence is a once-in-a-generation quarterback.
Here we go.
So just how good is Trevor Lawrence? Well, ESPN senior draft analyst Mel Kiper Jr. views him as the fourth best quarterback prospect he's ever evaluated. And we all know Kiper's been doing this thing a whole long time. Three of Kiper's top five quarterbacks, by the way, in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and John Elway, Peyton Manning, and Jim Kelly. So some pretty good company there, Dan. And you agree in your assessment of how great you think Trevor Lawrence is, in a way, some traits of Peyton Manning?
Yeah, well, that's a guy that we have to kind of compare it to. Like, that's the expectation level, is those three superstars. He's not just a number one pick. He's got to be as good as those guys. He's going in with LeBron James type of hype.
Whoa.
And try to exceed it. So Peyton was a guy that I at least was the first guy that I learned from when defenses played a certain way, he would say, you don't allow them to do that. Yeah. And then Peyton was elite at the line of scrimmage. He had elite fundamentals, and then the talent was off the charts. So he's got to go be that good. I think he can be.
Rarefied air for Trevor Lawrence there. And Mina, here's the thing. Tomorrow night, Trevor Lawrence is going to be the number one overall pick. He's going to go to Jacksonville.
No drama. What does
that Jaguars offense look like with Lawrence as their quarterback?
Yeah, we haven't spent a lot of time talking about that, or right. Trevor Lawrence in general. So Urban Meyer, the head coach, did hire Darrell Bevell as the offensive coordinator, Brian Schottenheimer as the passing game coordinator.
Your favorites.
Both of those coaches coached Russell Wilson. And I actually think there's a lot to take away from how Russell Wilson played with both of them, especially when he first entered the NFL, that'll make Trevor's transition into the league easier as well, coming from that Clemson offense. First of all, play action.
Yep.
Okay, both of those coaches use a hefty amount of play action. Last year, the Jaguars ranked second lowest in the league in how often they use play action. That must change.
Yes.
Aside from that, of course, Dan, we talk about this all the time. There's different types of play action. What Russell does a lot is rolling out. They give him those half-field reads. That's another way to ease Trevor, who's so good rolling out, throwing on the run, into the league. Speaking of the run, and this is another commonality. Most people don't think Trevor Lawrence, Russell Wilson have a lot in common. Zone read.
Yeah.
Okay, you can. Trevor Lawrence can scoot. That dude has juice. We don't talk about it enough. Again, it doesn't have to be a ton, but just a few zone reads sprinkled in throughout the course of the game will make it easier for him to dictate to defenses what he wants to do.
I think those are great points. I really do like the style of football that they're going to play. I mean, 2 years ago in the playoff, they beat Ohio State because of his legs. He wasn't throwing the ball that well. So I think those are great points and something for the Jag fans to look forward to.
I was just going to say, I think some of my favorite plays of Trevor Lawrence all time in college are actually the plays where he's run the ball.
Yeah.
He's got a toughness with which he runs as well. So he not only can scoop, but he'll kind of knock some people over on the way there. All right, we've got some more news to get to today out of the NFL, and this one all about the Super Bowl champion Buccaneers. They're having an unbelievable offseason. They're just re-signing the whole team, ready to run it back. They already know that they took care of their starters. Now they're on to the rest of the team. So today that's Antonio Brown that they re-sign. Antonio Brown will once again be a Tampa Bay Buccaneer. Ryan Clark joining the show now. Ryan, we're so glad to have you here. And what was your reaction when you heard the news? Because it is sort of an embarrassment of riches at this point for the Buccaneers. It's like they really did bring everybody back.
You know, sometimes they say that dreams don't always turn into reality, but haven't all of Tom Brady's dreams turned into reality? I mean, think about the woman he's married, the life he's lived in the NFL, and now look at his locker room. People want to be around Tom Brady. The contagiousness of his personality, of his sacrifice, has now taken over the locker room in Tampa Bay. When I played in Pittsburgh, it was a place you wanted to be. I would always tell guys, y'all don't understand how lucky you are to have been drafted here, played here your entire career, that the entire NFL isn't like this. That's what Tampa Bay feels like. When I met Levante David this offseason, he said, that's where I wanted to be. That's where I wanted to build my legacy. And this is where we will continue to win championships. People want to be a part of that team. And now that you sign Antonio Brown back, you have a 1-2-3-5 punch offensively that is almost unstoppable. And they'll be clicking from the beginning of the season till the end. I think a friend of mine named Dan said this team has a chance to go undefeated. It's tough to find a loss in 17 games for them.
Yeah, you know, Dan does like to pick teams that are going to go undefeated. He did it with the Chiefs last season. It didn't quite work out, but the Chiefs are still a really good team.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We're coming your way from Cleveland. Of course, we'll be covering the lead up to the NFL draft, which is tomorrow night. That's actually the walkway on the runway right to the podium where the commissioner is. And it's interesting because both Mac Jones and Trey Lance are attending the draft. They're going to make that walk and they're going to go see the commissioner. Let's talk about that pick number 3, Adam Schefter. What can you tell us as it stands right now with the 49ers plans and that third overall pick?
Well, Laura, I believe they've made their decision. And again, they've gone back and forth on their decision. And if we go back to when they traded up to number 3 overall, they traded up with the intention of picking Mac Jones, but doing an awful lot of work on Trey Lance and Justin Fields. And that's exactly what they've done over the last 4 to 5 weeks, to the point where the gap between the quarterbacks has narrowed considerably going into the draft tomorrow night. The 49ers have made a decision. They've kept it amongst only a couple of people. They don't want to share their decision. We'll see what direction they wind up going on Thursday night. But it seems like right now it'll be one of those two quarterbacks, Mac Jones or Trey Lance, who's come on strong and closed the gap.
And it also feels like to me, Adam, this whole time that it's really been Kyle Shanahan's decision. Even John Lynch, the GM, saying the other day that so much of this is in Shanahan's hands. So a lot of pressure on him as well. Let's get some DraftKings draft predictions as we come your way here from Cleveland. Sorry, let me get this right. We welcome in our ESPN draft analyst, Matt Miller, joining us here for the first time today. And the question that all 49ers fans are looking for, Matt, is who will be the third overall pick? So here's a look at some of the top options. You've got Zach Wilson, you've got Justin Fields, you got Mac Jones, you got Trey Lance, Ja'Marr Chase, or could it be any other player? Let's get your DraftKings draft predictions.
Yeah, Laura, I'm not one to go against what Adam Schefter says. If he says it's down to Mac Jones and Trey Lance, I think DraftKings has to update their board and make it just those two players. But I do think it will be Mac Jones. As Adam said, the player that they originally made this trade up for was Mac Jones. And he, in my opinion, would still be the front runner. And we've spent so much time talking about why Mac Jones should not be the pick. Let's talk about why he should be the pick and why he deserves to be the pick. Mac Jones was incredibly productive at Alabama last year, even going back to replacing Tua Tagovailoa in 2019. He's accurate. I think he's the most accurate quarterback in this draft class. His footwork within the pocket is perfect. We know how much Kyle Shanahan wants to work from within the pocket in this offense. They can add in RPO elements. They can add in play action. But Mac Jones is great at throwing the ball to his receivers and giving them a chance to make plays after the catch. When you have George Kittle, Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, we know how great these weapons are. They need a quarterback who can deliver. Let's remember, they basically lost the Super Bowl on one missed throw by Jimmy Garoppolo. If they have a quarterback who can hit that throw, they might have a Super Bowl ring right now, and we're not talking about them trading up to number 3 overall to get the next quarterback.
Yeah, and Matt, if you think about how you can really measure a quarterback, QBR factors in there in a big way, and Mac Jones had the best QBR we've seen in college since the metric was started being measured, better than guys like Joe Burrow, Kyler Murray, Baker Mayfield, you know, some of these guys who ended up being number 1 overall picks. More from Matt coming later. Let's talk about this, you guys, and you think about this third pick.
Or
exactly.
They lost the Super Bowl because Patrick Mahomes was on the other side.
Okay.
That could be a situation where why they lost. Go ahead, Laura.
There are two ways to look at everything.
We got to get Patrick in.
My bad.
Right?
I like that we got Patrick Mahomes.
It's a requirement.
All right. So I mentioned this. I mean, it seems like Kyle Shanahan is the guy really making this pick for the 49ers at 3.
Yes.
And he's the guy that orchestrates their offense, right? So it makes sense. But how much pressure in your mind really is on Shanahan to get this pick right?
All of it. Yeah. All of it. This is career defining. Look, I've said and heard Dan, I've heard Mina, we've all talked about these decisions that general managers or head coaches or ownership makes that can change the mentality of your organization.
Yep.
That's what it is for Kyle Shanahan. And basically, John Lynch then already said, look, if we don't get this right, it's Kyle Shanahan's fault. Because he's going to stand on the table for one of these quarterbacks.
Yes.
And seemingly, Kyle Shanahan embraces this challenge. Obviously, he does because they wanted to trade up and get to this point. But this is career defining. I'm telling you right now, if this third pick doesn't work out, we will never mention Matt Ryan again. We'll never mention Kirk Cousins. We'll never mention Jimmy Garoppolo.
Right. Sure.
We'll talk about this pick associated with Kyle Shanahan, whether that's good or bad, right? So, look, he's betting a lot, leveraging a lot. And if Mac Jones is the guy and that's his comfortability level as far as making this team better, and what better means is winning a Super Bowl. That's the other piece of context people need to remember. We're not talking about San Francisco just getting better at quarterback. The reason they did this is to win a Super Bowl. That's the difference.
Yeah.
And look, everybody could say, well, we drafting to win a Super Bowl. Everybody ain't the 49ers.
Yeah, no,
everybody is not built the way they are built. So he better get this one right.
Yeah, not only win a Super Bowl, but do it like next year.
Yeah.
Mac Jones' rookie season. When you put it that way and you think about it that way, it really is remarkable. The other thing, too, is it's not just picking Mac Jones at third overall, but it's the capital, to your point, that they
gave
up to get there. You've got, you're talking about first round picks. I mean, those don't just come around every day. All right, Dan, let's talk about why Mac Jones, if they end up choosing him at three, would actually be an upgrade over Jimmy G.
And not only an upgrade over Jimmy G, I think it's the right decision. You guys know that. All right, so all really good or great quarterbacks, something they have in common is they're great problem solvers. Now, there's different ways to solve different problems, and I think Mac does that by operational space. So I think he's the second best problem solver in the draft outside of Trevor Lawrence.
Wow.
And in relation to Jimmy Garoppolo, people think that this is a lateral move. It is not. Mac Jones is an upgrade in every aspect quarterback-wise in comparison to Jimmy Garoppolo. It will not be a roller coaster that it is with Jimmy. You will get consistently high play out of Mac Jones in San Francisco.
Mina,
I said that for somebody.
Mina's thinking Jimmy H.
We don't need to get into it today, but Jimmy does move a little bit better than Mac Jones outside of the pocket. Outside of the pocket. Yeah,
hard
I'm right.
Disagree.
You know I'm
hard
right.
Disagree.
You know I'm right.
Okay,
hard
let's move to the fourth pick because, yes, this third pick is super interesting, and maybe they pick Mac Jones, maybe they pick Trey Lance. But let's say that Atlanta doesn't end up getting a trade partner. They stay at four. They pick Kyle Pitts, the tight end out of Florida. What does their offense in Atlanta look like with Pitts?
It's terrifying. I mean, the words people always use to describe Kyle Pitts, unicorn, generational, the ones you hear all the time, matchup nightmare.
Also me and Marcus.
What?
Yes, unicorns, yes.
Oh, you're unicorns. Well, you and I are a matchup nightmare today. We didn't plan this, everybody.
Prom.
What do we mean when we say in football terms matchup nightmare? It means he is too big for most DBs to cover and too fast for most linebackers to cover.
Yes.
Every time he is on the field, he is a problem that the defensive coordinator, that's the first thing they're thinking about. How do we solve this guy?
Yep.
What does it mean for Atlanta? It means that they have Kyle Pitts, Julio Jones, unless they trade him, Calvin Ridley, and Hayden Hurst, who's a good pass catcher as well. That is ridiculous. You're going to see a lot more 12 personnel, which we know Arthur Smith likes from his days in Tennessee. And when that happens, you can't leave your base defense out on the field.
Right.
So if you've got extra DBs out there, it's going to be easier for Atlanta to run. Basically, Arthur Smith just has the best set of toys of any kid on the block with this group of players.
If they end up taking Pitts, I think a lot of people are going to anticipate that the pressure goes to Matt Ryan. I would disagree. I think the pressure goes to Arthur Smith because I do think Kyle Pitts is a guy that
Make
you have to use the right way. Now, the interesting thing for me, because they sit at four, is this. I'm sure there's interest from them of trading back.
Yeah.
But the reality is they are not just trading out of the four slot. I mean, there is a premium because who is likely to be selected at the four slot. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, Kyle Pitts is a guy that Mel Kiper said he's the best tight end he's ever seen, and he would be the best pass catcher in this draft. We're talking about him like we've never seen a guy like him. So if you're a team that wants to go to four, you're not just paying what the traditional cost to get to four would be. You got to pay me more because I'm passing on the opportunity to take Kyle Pitts.
Yeah, it's an interesting point. I think when you talk about the real generational talent in this draft, yeah, it may be Trevor Lawrence, but it definitely is Kyle Pitts. Let's get back to our top story of the day, a trade that happened just a little while ago. The Panthers trading away quarterback Teddy Bridgewater to the Broncos for a sixth-round pick. And as Adam Schefter reported, this trade doesn't take Denver out of the quarterback market tomorrow night. Matt Miller's still with us here. And Matt, what are you hearing about this trade and what it means, how it affects the draft now just close to 24 hours away?
Yeah, we're all tearing up our final mock drafts after this trade, which is the bad part of doing this right up against it. But I think it does say that maybe Carolina is out of the quarterback market, but certainly Denver seems like they're out of the quarterback market unless we see Drew Lockett move. So I think that's one of the interesting factors right now is what happens with Trey Lance. Is he selected at 3, as Adam said earlier? Is he selected at 4? Or do we maybe see a team that we're not expecting trade up for one of these quarterbacks? And a name that's been connected to Denver, if he's still on the board, by the way, is Rashawn Slater, the offensive tackle from Northwestern, who could go earlier than number 9, definitely, but it seems like the Denver Broncos have identified they're not going to get one of the quarterbacks that they liked early in this draft. So they've pivoted, added Teddy Bridgewater, who George Payton obviously knows from their time together in Minnesota, and now they can look at one of the top offensive tackles in this class. Their right tackle situation has been very uneven. They could put Rashawn Slater at guard, where I think he would be an all-pro caliber player very early in his career. Obviously, Garrett Bowles was great last year at left tackle. So the Broncos, by picking up Teddy Bridgewater, they have a lot of options right now at 9, including trading out if they decided to go that route.
Yeah, to Mina's point and to what you just said there, Matt, the Broncos, a team very well set up outside of the quarterback position for the most part, so maybe it does make sense for them to get out of there.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
The best defensive player in this draft.
Here we go.
Michael Parsons.
Linebacker Michael Parsons
is a new age player for the position.
Mr. Everywhere, Micah Parsons.
He can be that Mike you can build an entire defense around.
Chased down by Parsons.
That athletic, freakish ability.
Wreaking havoc on offenses.
Not regular guys. We run D's on premium only.
I expect him to be a star in this league immediately. Let's go out.
The NFL draft is tomorrow from here in Cleveland. The stage is right over there. We can see it from here. We're going to see some people's lives change tomorrow. As we welcome you back here to NFL Live, we've got Marcus Spears, Mina Kimes, Ryan Clark is with us as well. And it's now time to give a little love to the defensive guys. Mina, I felt like we need to do that for our guys here.
Yeah, finally.
Absolutely. We keep talking about offense in this draft. Let's talk a little deep. So, Marcus, your defensive superlatives, and start with best power in this class.
I'm glad we decided to talk about defense. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Put me on blast. My best power goes to Christian Barmore from Alabama. Not only does this young man have great hands and technique as a defensive lineman, he can bull you in the middle of the pocket, as you see here against the Georgia Bulldogs. It creates a fumble. Christian Barmore will add a lot of value late in this draft to somebody's team as a D tackle. For vision, I'm going Trevon Merrick. Thank you for the last name pronunciation, Mina. Listen, I love... This is a ball-hawking safety. This is a guy that will come up and hit you. But he plays with so much discipline. And I think arguably, and RC, you can relate to this, the best thing he does is tackles in space, which is at a premium in the NFL with all of these teams trying to spread you thin and asking guys to make those plays. And then when we get to speed, the guy that you saw when we were coming into this segment, Micah Parsons, a 4-3, are you kidding me? They building these dudes this way at linebacker now. And if you see the tape, it translates. A lot of people can run fast, straight line. A lot of people can impress you at a combine or during a workout. Micah Parsons' speed shows up every single play, and that's what's going to make him special on the next level. He is one of those can't-miss guys that you just plug and play, and he'll make an impact similar to what we saw Devin White do in Tampa.
Ooh, wow. Devin White, that's a good comparison. Mina?
Yeah? I mean, Micah Parsons, he can't just go sideline. Not only can he go sideline to sideline, he can also get at the quarterback.
Absolutely.
He was the edge rusher in high school, and it shows. And what's tricky, guys, is he's the best defensive player in the draft, to my mind. But the team that needs defense the most, picking the earliest, Dallas, arguably doesn't need a linebacker compared to the other positions. So they're in a tricky spot with what to do at that 10 spot. I know Marcus has some thoughts on that.
Yeah, I mean, Sertan's probably going to end up being the guy off the board there, and they're going to say we might have missed on the best defensive player in this class. All right, Marcus, that felt good. I'm glad we let you do that. Now let's switch to offense, though. Sorry. All right, the 2021 class is stacked with pass catchers. This is a look at Mel Kiper's top 10 pass catchers in this year's class. Includes four of the top five overall prospects. In fact, Kiper's top 10 pass catchers all rank among the top 38 players in this year's draft, regardless of position. Tons of talent throughout the draft. So, Ryan, we start with you. Which of these pass catchers, in your mind, is the toughest to defend?
Man, it's that stanky Kyle Pitts. And I call him stanky because his routes are stanky and he finishes in a stanky way. Listen, it doesn't matter who you are. You can be a corner like Kelvin Joseph and he'll hit you with the little igot with the dead leg outside and get skinny on you inside on the skinny post. He can also line up outside against guys like Tyson Campbell, who's going to be a high pick in this draft and go on top his head and take off peanuts. And if you put a linebacker on him, you are burnt toast. And not even French toast, not even with the cinnamon. It's not gonna be good. You're the type of toast that you gotta scrape off. When you scrape off the top, it gets soft. If you don't cover him the right dry toast, if you don't cover him the right way, if you don't double him, if you don't play him with the team, you're gonna get killed.
Mina.
Yeah. Obviously, I agree. Everyone agrees. Everyone and their mom agrees. Everyone and their mom's mom agrees that Kyle Pitts is that guy. To me, the question in this round is, who's number two? Now, I know it's going to be Ja'Marr Chase, but I actually, and RC is going to make a face at this, I think it's debatable between Chase and Devontae Smith in terms of the question, which is who's harder to cover. There he is making now. Who's staking now,
that was
RC?
A steak face.
Because Devontae Smith is a better route runner and is faster. Ja'Marr Chase is tougher, and he's got a better release. But you know what? Skinny people need love too, Ryan.
Ryan, is something stanky in there?
I love, Mina's take right now. I barely got any segments, and she come on here hating on LSU. We were supposed to be friends.
Sorry. I'm imagining everybody that gets burnt by Kyle Pitts with, like, their face just turns into dry toast. Is that weird, or... I think it's appropriate, actually.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
NFL Live is presented by Lexus. Experience amazing.
Should the 49ers take Mac Jones at three?
Yes.
The 49ers shouldn't take Mac Jones.
You better be damn sure he is that guy.
If they want to go to a Super Bowl again, take Mac Jones.
Mac Jones airing it out. Touchdown, Alabama. Just two.
Of the quarterbacks in the first round, he excites me the least.
Mac Jones is really freaking good.
Yeah, Mac Jones is really freaking good. Dan Orlovsky, Adam Schefter here with us. Take us through your top storylines right now for the draft, Adam. Let's start with the 49ers and their plans at number three.
I think you have to start there, Laura. They've made their decision. They are keeping it close to the vest at this point in time. They're not telling a lot of people what they've decided to do. Obviously, the decision seems to have come down to Mac Jones, the Alabama quarterback, Trey Lance from North Dakota State. They've taken a long look at Justin Fields as well. And then if they go ahead and take one of these quarterbacks, which they will at three, what then happens to Jimmy Garoppolo? And my sense is the chances of a Garoppolo trade at this time right now are, the words in one source, remote. As for the NFC East teams, you take a look at them right now. There are the Giants, the Cowboys, Giants, and Eagles. Pickings 10, 11, 12, three NFC East teams all in back-to-back-to-back positions. We'll see whether any of them come up. stay where they are, but that'll be interesting to see considering that they're all looking at corners, wide receivers, and maybe even some offensive linemen, we'll see. And then there was a trade today with the Carolina Panthers sending Teddy Bridgewater to the Denver Broncos for a sixth-round draft pick. Teddy Bridgewater is reunited with the new Broncos general manager, George Payton, who was in Minnesota when the Vikings had him there. And keep in mind, Teddy Bridgewater had $10 million in guaranteed money due to him. The Carolina Panthers are eating $7 million of that, and the Broncos are paying the remaining three, Laura.
Yeah, Adam, it feels like this trade today has a ripple effect that really is going to continue to ripple right up until the draft and even during that first round. Thanks so much, Adam Schefter, for being with us today on NFL Live. And, you know, I'm talking about that ripple effect, Dan, when you think about the quarterbacks and how it affects them specifically, these guys in the top five that we keep talking about, how do you think that factors in?
Well, I think it puts a lot of people and organizations on notice. I think these quarterbacks will not get past eight. I think Carolina moving on from Teddy. Yeah.
All five.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think they get past eight because I think Carolina moving on from Teddy Bridgewater, as much as I love Sam Darnold's talent, it is risky to go, Sam Darnold, we're just going into the season with him in his second year of a rebuild with Matt Rhule and his staff. So I think if a Justin Fields is there or Trey Lance is there, they will pounce. And you can make the justifiable case that they should. So I think that if you're a team that was entertaining, hey, if these guys slip to 10, we can go up and trade. Slip to 11, we can go up. They're not going to. I don't anticipate them to get past 8.
Woo!
I think Drew Locke is put on notice as well.
Yeah.
Listen, Mina made this point last week, and I thought it was really smart. Good quarterback play in Denver makes them a playoff team. They will get good quarterback play out of Teddy Bridgewater if he has to go 20 touchdowns last year, 3,500 yards, if he has to go play. So Drew Locke in many ways is still expendable. They have comfort. They have a starting quarterback.
Yeah.
Now do they want to go get great quarterback play in the draft?
I know I reacted strongly when you said none of the quarterbacks are getting past eight, but I'm inclined to agree because before the trade, Carolina is the team that should take a quarterback but probably won't after the trade. I wasn't sure. Now this trade, I think, makes it more likely they do take a quarterback.
Yeah.
And Denver, I don't know, but look, trading a sixth-round pick for Teddy Bridgewater and paying him $3 million should not change your draft plan.
Correct.
So if that happens, if those two teams are inclined to take a quarterback, that's it. Game over. And suddenly you got a team like New England, who we've all been hypothesizing might be either waiting for Justin Fields to drop to them or maybe willing to trade up. They're on the outs, right?
Makes it harder.
If any of those other teams, New England, Chicago, Washington, whoever.
It's more expensive.
Yeah, the price tag just went way, way up.
I listening to you and Dan, Mina, I just have a question. Like, it's my question. The Mac Jones discussion, right? Did this come about because San Francisco put that out? I'm just thinking back. Like, I didn't hear of Mac Jones.
You mean that San Francisco wants Mac Jones and they traded up to get him?
But it's caused a dialogue of us talking about Mac Jones with the skill set of being the third overall pick. What? And I'm trying to figure out if San Fran doesn't take him, do the other teams look at him like that?
Yeah. I will remind you, Marcus Spears, during the national championship, we were all together. We were like, huh? And I was like, maybe New Orleans at 28.
That's
that'd
what
be
I'm
a nice
and
pick.
Look, it's never been about, for everybody at home, it's never been about Mac Jones not being a good quarterback. I had him 15 to New England.
Right.
Thought it was the perfect destination for him. It blows my mind.
Well,
San Francisco made the move, and now we're talking about Mac Jones in
and
that bag.
To Mina's point, like, the Patriots, if they want Mac Jones and he did fall, they'd have to get ahead of eight, most likely. We've got to go, guys. This was so much fun.
We got 2 hours.
We'll see you tomorrow at 3 p.m. for a 2-hour special right here.